I remember the first time I came to London's Paddington Station in 1988, aged 6. I was struck by the noise and frantic activity of the station and found it a very daunting but exhilarating place. The deafening intercity 125s gave an impression not only of great power and speed, but also of being important, with places to go and no time to hang around. I remember the anticipation I felt as I first boarded a 125 at Bristol Parkway, bound for Paddington. I was excited about visiting my uncle in his new flat, and being let loose in the famous Hamley's toy shop, which had about 6 floors and an amazing range of stock. When I wasn't chatting away to my cousin, I was glued to the train window to see every little thing that passed. Many people would have looked out for the hillside with the chalk white horse, or the glittering River Thames, but I, a railway-mad child, was far more interested in the monolithic Didcot Power Station, Acton Freight Sidings, and all the other railway infrastructure and rolling stock along the Great Western Main Line. The countryside flew by on that crisp February morning, and before long it gave way to urban sprawl that became more and more dense as we approached the metropolis. We stepped off the train into the melee on the platforms. I'd never seen so many people moving so fast, and I felt very small as we rushed through the crowds with my mum into the underground station. Most of my previous experience of cities had been in Gloucester, Bristol and Cardiff, places where you didn't have to constantly dodge people on the pavement, and where you could pause to find your bearings without being bowled over by impatient passers-by. But I found London thrilling. I could barely remember my last visit of 2 years or so earlier, so the city was mostly still new to me, and every street was an adventure. Over the years, I've been to Paddington many times, and it's come to represent a variety of things to me. The nerves before a job interview, the joy of being reunited with old friends, the start of the Christmas holiday with my family. As I look back on my first visit to Paddington, I see how innocent I was as a 6-year-old. The only worries I had were centred on the boredom of the school day, and even those thoughts had been put on hold for the half-term holiday. The whole world was exciting and undiscovered. Things which I now think of as mundane or cynical. Offices, factories, TV advertising, then seemed to have an appeal and intrigue of their own. This fitted in with my naive view that the whole world was working together to make life better for everyone.
I'm standing beneath Brunel's magnificent arched iron roof. Crowds of passengers are swarming around the concourse, craning their necks to get a look at the arrivals and departures board. Many more are streaming on and off trains to and from the West Country and South Wales. Everyone has a preoccupied look on their face as they go on their way. At Paddington today, I'm more likely to watch and analyse my fellow travellers than to note down locomotive numbers, and I'm more inclined to ponder the uncaring attitude of the modern corporate world than the Victorian vision and determination of Isambard Kingdom Brunel. Because sadly, as we all know, the innocence of childhood can't last forever. The ambience at Paddington is just as busy now as it was in 1988, but it feels somehow more sanitised. The diesels are less smoky and less noisy, and the electric Heathrow Expresses glide quietly in and out of the platforms. The floors paved with polished stone, and bright computer screens have replaced the characteristic clickety-click of the huge old destination board. Nonetheless, Paddington retains the feel of an important place, a gateway for routes that radiate to all corners of southwestern Britain, a place where journeys begin and end, where people are both parted and united. Paddington is a terminus in the literal sense, Its tracks stop dead at the buffers, but for most passengers, it's simply a place to pass through and not, as it is for me, a place to stop and reflect.